Bureau.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome to Community Comment with Terry Bell on 95.3 WBEV, presented by Professional Floor Covering, a locally owned Abbey Design Center located at 713 Park Ave in Beaver Dam. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. They have over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. They have a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. Speaking of cabinets, they also have cabinetry, as you want your kitchen cabinetry to not only look beautiful, but to last for years to come. Partner with top brands to offer unrivaled quality and craftsmanship. From traditional to modern kitchen, their cabinetry team is here to help you inspire and create your dream kitchen. Call 920-887-8341 or go to proflr.com for all your needs. Here is Community Comment with Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Ashley. And today we're joined by State Representative Andrew Heisel. We'll be talking about different legislation and other initiatives happening at the state capitol that affect us back here in the district. If you have any questions for Andrew, we invite you to join the program. You can call or text us at 920-887-8585. Or you can call the studio line at 885-4446. And good morning, Representative Heisel.
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
It's good to be back with you. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Great. Yeah, trying to stay warm.
We're trying being the operative word. But
yeah,
for sure. Say, it has been a busy time in the Capitol since we last spoke, so let's jump right into it. You've introduced a bill to raise the small claims jurisdictional limit from $5,000 to $10,000. Tell me, why did you feel that this was an important thing to do?
Yeah, great. Terry, so this bill may be something you wouldn't think about as being that important, but in my work as an attorney, I run into people who have a claim. Maybe they were, injured or hurt somehow, but the amount of damage they suffered is not huge. I mean, I think thousands of dollars is a lot of money, and it's worth going to court for. But if your claim is less than $10,000, you really can't afford to hire a lawyer because that would eat up most of the money, even if you do win. So the idea is, if you increase the limit for torts and other sorts of personal injury claims for small claims court up to $10,000, then people can avoid hiring a costly lawyer and get compensation. So it's really just about to help people access the courts and pay less money.
How did you land on $10,000 as the right number?
Yeah, it's a good question. We're surrounded by states that all have a higher level. I think Iowa's at $7,500, Illinois is at $10,000, I think Michigan's at maybe 10 or 12, and then Minnesota's at $20,000. So I figured, somewhere in the middle made sense. It's a good starting point. And I checked with a lot of different stakeholder groups or organizations that, care about court policy. And I pretty much got, everyone said, hey, you know what? It's been a long time since we raised this. I think it was 1995 when it was last raised. And let's keep it up with inflation so people don't have to spend all their money on lawyers, which, they can be expensive.
That was going to be my next question. How long has it been? And, certainly if it's been a long time and you say 1995, and certainly, it would be just the appropriate thing to do to keep up with at least the rate of inflation.
It's something I've noticed with a lot of stuff here at the state level is that they don't always keep things up with inflation. And as a result, you kind of see some of the things that we do, like around school referendum, because the state doesn't provide, increasing amounts to match inflation for school aid to localities. It's why we're starting to see these referendums, because the localities have to, pay for the inflation increases themselves.
For sure. Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about small claims court, and by definition, small amounts of money. But this does affect everyday people in particular, and I'm guessing that's what this is designed to help with.
Yeah, I mean, for example, let's say you have a claim for $7,000. Let's say you broke your arm and you had to go to the emergency room. You know, an ambulance trip, I mean, alone can be thousands of dollars. So let's say that you're out of pocket $5,000-$6,000. And right now, you can't bring that claim in a small claims court. So you have to go to circuit court, and just to file your claim is $130. It's a little less than that, but it's going to go up to $130. And then, if you want a jury trial, each juror costs X amount of dollars, and your lawyer will charge you an hourly fee. And before you know it, the out of pocket costs you have, are just eaten up. And so if you can go to small claims court, you just file a form. It's online. There's some sort of a decision maker. You do often it's on Zoom. And you can't really get this stuff worked out without having to spend all your money on legal fees. So I think it just makes sense for consumers and people to help them out this way.
Are you concerned that maybe there would be a big enough shift from one court to another, from civil court to small claims court, that maybe the small claims court might be overburdened by the new demand?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we got a system of funding our courts that supports, you know, increases in demand. You'd see these small claims court proceedings aren't very costly. I mean, you just don't have as much, you don't have as many steps, you don't have as many procedural parts, and as a result, it's a lot less expensive. And, you know, if we need to adjust subsequent to your point, Terry, and put more funding into small claims, let's do it. But in the end of the day, we got to make the system work for the regular person. And, you know, if people are getting hurt and they can't get a lawyer because their claim's not worth much, or, you know, they need to have an option. So we just got to figure that out.
This would seem to fit quite well into a number of initiatives, particularly among Democrats, to reform Wisconsin's civil justice system to some effect to improve outcomes for people who don't have a lot of means.
And when I say people don't have a lot of means, I'm talking about like 85 to 90% of the people. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're making $80,000 a year, do you have 10 grand sitting there to hire a lawyer after tax? Not really. I mean, this is about helping like 90% of the people. I feel like a lot of times policies end up like helping the really, really well-to-do, and everybody else is kind of like dealing with like higher and higher costs and expenses. So my mission and mission of my Democratic caucus is to try to make things cheaper for people, people that, you know, work for a living and don't have like piles of money lying around to pay for things like lawyers.
We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie about developments in Madison affecting us back in the district. We need to take a quick break here, but we will be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Good Karma Brands is proud to be an equal opportunity employer, providing equal employment, development, and advancement opportunities to all teammates and applicants. To learn more about careers with us, please send an email to talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com. That's talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com.
The Summit Automotive year-end sale is on. Over 500 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and more than 100 new Fords, all in stock and ready to roll. Locally and family owned, voted best of Dodge County. Visit me, Cody Linsenmeyer, at Summit Automotive Ford in Beaver Dam. We're driven by you.
Christmas shopping in downtown Beaver Dam and going to McKinstry's Home Furnishings to get that special gift for the home. Does it bring back memories? At McKinstry's, we are celebrating our 167th Christmas in downtown Beaver Dam with a store-wide holiday sale. Hi, this is Sandy, and I invite you to make your Christmas memories by offering you 6 floors of great gifts for the holidays. Gift ideas include Christmas pillows, only $15. Lighted Christmas pictures, starting at $9. Create new memories by giving a Tiffany lamp or an area rug. Over 100 Lazy Boy recliners are in stock and ready to put under, well, maybe next to the tree. Lift chairs also make great gifts. Lift chairs start at only $499. So come to McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam and save during our holiday sale. Hurry, sale ends December 23rd.
Staples presents An Easy Holiday.
My holiday list was a mile long.
Fa-la-la-la, boo-hoo-hoo.
Staples made it easy with big savings on tech gifts.
I'm listening.
And I saved big on custom holiday cards, too. Plus, Staples has UPS shipping in-store.
Holy flying reindeer. Shop Staples today for 50% off custom cards, invites, wrapping paper, labels, stamps, and photo gifts.
That was easy.
In-store and online expires 12/20. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Are you like everybody else in the world who has no idea what to get everyone for the holidays? Well, you're in luck. We got you. Hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Because with hands-free Skechers slip-ins, you just step into them and they're on. There's no bending down, no touching, no fuss. Plus, Skechers slip-ins come in everyone's favorite styles and colors. And you can get slip-ins everywhere stylish footwear is sold, including a Skechers store. Or if you're too busy to shop in person, just get them online at Skechers.com, Amazon, and more.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And welcome back to community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Here is Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Ashley. We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie on Community Comment today about developments at the state capitol that affect us back here in the district. If you would like to ask a question of Andrew or make a comment, feel free to call or text 920-887-8585, or you can call our studio line at 885-4446. Andrew, I know you've been working hard to not only protect but promote Wisconsin's hemp farming industry. Recently, President Trump signed a continuing resolution meant to cover the drug trade, but either by accident or by design could end up outlawing much of Wisconsin's hemp-based economy. Can you explain what's at stake here?
Yeah, sure. On November 12th, the U.S. Senate and House representatives passed a continuing resolution to keep the government open. I think that was in the news for a long time. We had the government shutdown. Well, in the Senate, this continuing resolution, this budget bill, somebody like inserted into it, stuck into it, a ban on hemp-derived products that had a certain THC level. And that was passed by the Senate, passed by Congress, and the president signed it into law, and essentially says that in about a year from now, all these hemp-derived products, both intoxicating and non-intoxicating, are essentially going to be rendered illegal. So there's a lot of Wisconsin businesses, there's farmers, there's companies that make drinks, gummies, and other products that will literally go out of business. When this ban takes effect.
Is there anything that can be done about it in the time before this takes effect in a year?
That's a good question. I've been researching this, talking with experts, looking at the law. There's a possibility that if we did legalize it at the state level, kind of like some states have legalized cannabis at the state level, we could potentially have a market within the state borders. However, it's not clear if that would necessarily work. But, yeah, in the end, it's not looking great for these guys. When I say these guys, I mean the small businesses, because they're all small businesses by definition, because they're new businesses. And there's one in Milwaukee that employs 35 people in a manufacturing plant, and they white-label products and send them around the country to retailers. And, you know, these kinds of jobs, they pay good. They could pay good wages, and we need to make sure we don't lose jobs like that. So I'm definitely concerned about this.
Give us some idea, please, about the scope of the hemp economy in Wisconsin. I think people might be surprised.
Yeah, it's in the billions, and it's grown since 2018 when the U.S. at the federal level, they essentially created a pathway for people to grow hemp, which is very closely related to marijuana. Sometimes the distinction is hard to tell. And as long as the THC levels in your final product are 0.3% or less by volume, you can actually sell those products legally, and they're legal federally. So what happens is if you oftentimes you'll see these drinks at Quick Trip, your local grocery store, and these drinks, or your liquor store, and these drinks basically have milligrams of THC, and they're hemp-derived. They're actually, a lot of them are made in Minnesota with hemp from Wisconsin and other places. And these drinks essentially are something you can buy and use, and it's from hemp. So there's a lot of, I've heard some bars actually, 20% of their sales are these drinks. And then, of course, you have gummies and other edibles. People use them to help them sleep. Some people, there's CBD that's available that's also derived from hemp. So there's a lot of different uses that consumers have for these. And I support regulating them and protecting kids and protecting consumers and ensuring that labels, you know, have the right amounts on them and educating folks so they make, when they make a choice, it's an informed choice. But I don't believe in bans. I'm not into banning things that people, consumers can, want to use responsibly, adults.
What are you hearing from those folks in the hemp-producing industry? Are they discouraged? Are they determined to fight this?
Yeah, they're determined to fight this. And they've built businesses. A woman I know I don't know her personally, but one of my colleagues is, knows her well. She's a small businesswoman. She just expanded and did a build out of a retail facility in Milwaukee. And now, you know, literally in 10 months, because government decided to insert something into the continuing resolution, she loses everything. And I can't understand why policy is made that way. I mean, we know that in the continuing resolution, there was a decision not to put the subsidies for people's health insurance, which is going up. It's actually, I think the date's coming up on the deadline for that. They didn't want to stick that in there, but they wanted to ban something that people are using responsibly, that a business has arisen around. They want to ban that. I don't understand how sometimes policies are made coming out of D.C. these days. It's pretty strange.
I guess what would motivate someone, the lawmaker who, the senator who slipped this into the continuing resolution, I guess, what would motivate someone to harm a segment of the economy that's, creating a benefit for people?
Terry, if you could answer that question for me, I would love to sit down and hear, because I can't get into the minds of these people. Their special interests. I'm sure somebody somewhere benefits from something. The problem is that our policies need to help people. They need to support the economy. They need to support jobs. They need to we're supposed to be here to help people. And this is another example of not happening. And again, I've authored and co-sponsored a number of bills here in the state of Wisconsin to regulate hemp-derived products. We should have protections for consumers, for kids. We should make sure that kids can't get it. And we should make sure people have information to make their own decisions. But again, I don't know why they're making these kinds of policies, but I just know that here in Wisconsin, we need to not follow that same approach. We need to make sure the policies we pass help, working families and consumers.
Do you think it just goes to show that a lot of work needs to be done about the confusion and conflation in people's minds between the hemp industry and the illicit drug trade?
I think most people are seeing there's something very different about hemp-derived products when they're manufactured safely and legally from, in quotes, the illicit drug trade. We consume alcohol. At one point, alcohol was an illicit drug and part of an illicit drug trade. So I think a lot of Wisconsinites see these products, see people consuming them, maybe have tried some themselves. And I think at the end of the day, this whole like frame that of an illicit drug trade, I mean, the only thing that's dangerous about now let's switch over to cannabis or marijuana is that it's illegal. I mean, once you legalize it and you regulate it, you can protect consumers, prevent kids from being marketed to and sold to, and it becomes safer. Again, you know, I think we need to get more into like helping people, giving people the right to make choices that they want to make when they do it responsibly. What is it our business to tell them they can't purchase a hemp-derived THC drink and enjoy it with their friends? That's not government's job.
Right, right. You may have answered my next question. I guess what would you say to listeners who, you know, for whom hemp-derived products, you know, are a benefit in their lives, and what can they do over the course of the next year?
Send an email to the President of the United States and tell him that he needs to fix it, because honestly, he should have told his guys in the Senate. I mean, they do whatever he wants. Trump should have told him to take this out, and he didn't. So he should fix the problem. I think at the state level, contact your legislator. You know, I said earlier, it's possible that if we do pass a bill at the state level, that we might be able to continue within our borders a program. And also, frankly, ask your legislator to at least legalize cannabis, marijuana, medicinally. Over 80% of Wisconsin citizens want legal cannabis. And, like, it's just, you got to keep the pressure up on these folks. I like them. They're my colleagues. But let's just keep the pressure up, because we will take action. We must take action on this issue. We've just been waiting way too long.
We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie. We need to take a break for the news and some other messages, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week is Watertown's Addison O'Mara. The senior competes on the Goslings volleyball team, and her favorite high school moment is defeating Wanakee in the Badger Large Conference Tournament. After graduation, she plans to play college volleyball and pursue a career in nursing. Congratulations to Watertown's Addie O'Mara. She's this week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week.
Energy does more than power homes and businesses. It powers progress. Whether it's supporting new businesses coming to town or helping existing ones expand, our efforts create jobs and improve the places we all call home. At Alliant Energy, we're not just meeting today's energy needs, we're building a stronger energy future for all. It's reliable, it's resilient, and it's built for Wisconsin's future. Visit AlliantEnergy.com/communitygrowth to learn more.
The best place to hear your favorite song is in a bed from Slumberland Furniture. There's plenty of great music in here at the Slumberland Furniture Studio on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another batch of photographs showing Jeffrey Epstein with various public figures. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee releasing them as the deadline approaches for the Justice Department to release all it has on the convicted sex offender.
Now, Republicans on the committee say that this is a pattern from Democrats on that panel of what they call cherry-picking files out of tens of thousands of pages. These photos come from a cache of 95,000 photos and other files from the Epstein estate that the Oversight Committee got just about a day or so ago.
ABC's Jay O'Brien in those photos alongside Epstein, former President Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Woody Allen, Steve Bannon, and former Prince Andrew. The president's being sued by preservationists seeking architecture review and congressional approval over the big White House ballroom. A federal judge issuing a temporary restraining order against immigration enforcement against re-detaining the recently released Kilmore Abrego Garcia. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. Dodgeland School District voters will get another referendum this spring. The ballot question passed by the school board this week is about half the size of the one voters rejected last April. It will ask for $700,000 for operating expenses over the next 4 years. This year, the Dodgeland District had to slash its budget and cut several jobs. Local governments around Wisconsin could get some budget relief from the state next year. The state is increasing how much it reimburses local governments for fire, police, and waste services for state government buildings. Those payments will go up to 44% next year. That's the first major increase in more than 20 years. That should be a big help for places like Juneau and Waupun, where local crews serve state prisons and office buildings. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is saying no to the U.S. Justice Department after it demanded a list of registered Wisconsin voters and their personal information. Last week, the DOJ demanded the entire statewide voting list and the last four digits of everyone's Social Security number or their driver's license number. Yesterday, commissioners decided Wisconsin confidentiality laws prevent sharing that kind of information. Wisconsin hospitals provided $2.2 billion in community benefits last year. A new report from the Wisconsin Hospital Association includes charity care, subsidized services, education for health professions, and other investments. The report also shows one in four Wisconsin hospitals are operating in the red. There's a new interactive device for kids to check out at the Beaver Dam Community Library. It's called Wazoodle, and it's for kids ages 3 to 12. Youth Services Librarian Sam Jones says Wazoodle offers three modes geared toward literacy, movement, and creativity. Jones says the gadgets engage and teach without a screen. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
A few flurries possible at times. Today, otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 22. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A few flurries possible at times. Tonight, lows level off around 5 below. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 3 above. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, it's 6 degrees above zero.
There's power in your smile. Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster from Columbus Family Dental. Your smile can make or break a day, start a conversation, even double a dose of courage. At Columbus Family Dental, we're committed to protecting your grin from ear to ear. Young and old, orthodontics to cosmetics, we're here to make it that much easier to share your smile. Columbus Family Dental is now accepting every kind of smile. Call us today for a free, no-pressure consultation at 623-5559.
1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV are proud to be South Central Wisconsin's spot for local high school play-by-play. High school sports fans are passionate, loyal, and hold on to a lifetime of memories. You can be a part of those memories and build your business's brand along the way by partnering with us to sponsor high school sports. For more info on how you can become part of the excitement, leave a message at 920-885-4442 or click the Contact Us tab at DailyDodge.com.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our rehab team is here to help you restore mobility, regain independence, and get back to doing what you love. With state-of-the-art facilities and a compassionate team of physical and occupational therapists, we're proud to serve our communities in Columbus, Beaver Dam, and Sun Prairie. Early morning and evening appointments are available. Schedule a visit today at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And welcome back to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Presented in part by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. If you close your doors in your home when company comes because of your inferior interior, McKinstry's Home Furnishings can help. They will be happy to sit down with you, discuss your decorating ideas, and formulate a complete plan for any and all the rooms in your home. Just bring them the measurements and pictures of your room. Determine any items you wish to keep. Then they can discuss your paint colors, furniture styles, area rugs, and accessories. Combining your ideas and their expertise, you will achieve the room plan you desire while working within your budget. That's all there is to it. Stop in and see them today at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts. Here is Community Comment with Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Ashley. We're joined this morning by State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie. We're talking about legislation and other initiatives at the state capitol that affect us back home in the district. If you would like to give a comment or a question for Andrew, feel free to join the conversation. Here's how you can do it. You can call or text 920-887-8585, or you can call our studio line at 885-4446. Well, Andrew, the legislature just wrapped up its floor session for 2025, and one of the bills that passed in the last assembly floor session was a bill to incentivize school district consolidation. And on its surface, ostensibly, you know, it might not seem like a bad idea. The aims, we are told, are to save money and improve efficiency. But I'm guessing that you have some concerns about it as well.
Yeah, you got to take each bill and think about what's happened in the years before the bill that you're considering. And what I actually spoke on the assembly floor against one of the bills. It was a handful of bills. It was 644. It basically, this bill would have like incentivized rural school districts to consolidate and close down their schools and combine them. It would have provided an extra $2,000 per pupil for 3 years, 26, 27, 28. The school district would get an extra $2,000 per pupil to shut down. And then they would go back, and then the school that was left would go back to the regular underfunded school level. And if you look back in the past 15 years, you're like, there was 30 bills. There's been 30 bills Republicans have advanced to consolidate schools. They have not, at the same time, funded schools to keep up with inflation. If they had, each school district would get over $3,300 more on average per student. $3,300. Again, we're talking about inflation, and it's why we need to increase the limits for small claims court. It applies to schools as well. You can't cut people. It's a cut if you don't adjust for inflation. And if you don't adjust for inflation, the local taxpayer has to pay it. So then I get a bill, the first, they got extra money for schools, but it's to shut them down. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, aren't we here to help people? Like, rural schools are one of the most important things in a rural community. And the idea that you're going to shut down a rural school up north and make people take a bus for 2 hours, you know, make a kid, a third grader, take a bus for 2 hours to go to a school, it made me very angry. So I definitely spoke out against this one. In very strong terms.
Yeah, absolutely. Speak a little bit, if you would, please, to the role that a school plays in a small community. It can't be overstated.
Well, let's start with what it plays. First of all, the role it plays is it gives you a place to your kid to go. I mean, if you don't have a school and you live out in the country, how is that going to help the rural areas? You know, grow jobs, attract people to live there. If you have to drive an hour and a half on a bus each way, that's not going to work. The school itself is a major investment in a community. It's infrastructure. It's a place you go during emergencies and power outages. It's a place you go for after-school programs. It's where you hold elections. It's a facility that basically provides a lot of value to people in the community. And that's why the Republicans represent these areas, and they should be protecting these schools. And that's what blew my mind. I mean, I represent part of Dodge, and honestly, I care about the entire state. So I rural schools are so important to rural communities that I just cannot believe that they're providing new money not to keep them open, but to shut them down.
On the other hand, you know, a lot of these rural school districts, their enrollments are so low. Is there a point at which, you know, increasing funding for an extremely small district, that consolidation would be more cost effective than increasing funding for each individual district where your graduating class might be, you know, a dozen kids?
Of course, you've got to look at each situation, but as a general rule, if you're not funding your rural schools for 15 years, $3,300 per kid, I mean, the reason they got to close these schools down is they don't have enough money from the state. Like, if I cut off all the money for, like, your business or for, you know, whatever, you know, your paycheck doesn't go up for inflation for 15 years, you're going to have to start cutting stuff. Why don't we get that back where we're supporting our schools at the right level, at a fair level? And then if there's a school somewhere where there's been a population drop that's really significant and they're graduating 12 people, let's look at that on a case-by-case basis. But let's not use that example to ignore the fact that the Republicans have not been funding our schools for 15 years. And it's got to change. And, like, this bill just, it blew my mind. I'm like, this is the first bill I get to vote for to increase school funding for students, and it's to shut them down? I'm like, good grief.
I know you say it's a case-by-case basis, but I was just kind of wondering, maybe in general, or maybe we have to get a little more specific, what alternatives would be better to consolidation for a school district that's extremely tiny?
Well, that's what I guess what I'm saying is, if you look at, let's say, 100 schools, and you're not funding any of them, to the point where you're shortchanging a rural community, which does not have a big local tax base, so they can't really offset it through referendum like folks in some prairie have in the past. You've shortchanged those 100 schools. They're all going to be at risk. And what I'm saying is, of those 100 schools, if there's a couple that are graduating 12 kids, let's look at those and come up with a solution. So what I'm trying to say is, I think the problem is if you don't look at this as a systematic issue, you lose the bigger picture. The bigger picture is rural schools need to be funded. Let's fund them. And then on a case-by-case basis, in those instances where there is so small that it can't be actually run anymore, let's visit those. But it's going to be a small subset of the schools that, honestly, they're targeting with this thing. Does that make sense?
We're talking with State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie about developments at the state capitol that affect us here at home. We need to take one more short break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Ho, ho, ho. Hi, kids. This is Santa. I'm getting ready to make my way to Dodge County this Christmas. But before I do, I want to hear from you. So please, write me a letter and let me know what you would like for Christmas this year. And with your parents' help, drop them in my official drop box at Swan Park Rotary Lights in Beaver Dam. I might just read your letter on WBEV.
Made possible by Bayside Supper Club and Cassandra Schmidt of Modern Woman of America.
Doctors Jackie and Colby McIntyre of Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph take pride in building a lifelong relationship with you and your pet.
At Marshview Veterinary Clinic, we enjoy seeing dogs and cats, and we enjoy seeing the way that they fit into your families. We enjoy seeing them as they age and develop, and we enjoy helping you keep them healthy. Part of that involves working within your goals as a pet owner.
To make an appointment, call Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph today or visit marshviewvetclinic.com.
It's family time at Chula Vista, with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. Easy going with scenic river walks, a relaxing spa, or going all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and cross-country skiing, sledding, snowshoeing, all right here. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Spend the holidays with the Kaminsky family at Chula Vista. Check out their family specials at ChulaVistaResort.com.
At HH Improvements, we've been serving Dodge County and surrounding areas for over 25 years, and we're located in downtown Beaver Dam. From roofing to siding to gutters, guards, decks, and remodels, we handle everything. Well, everything but laying your carpet. We're licensed, insured, and have an A+ BBB rating. Trust the local pros who truly care.
Call 920-904-6999. HH Improvements, the definition of quality. And nope, still not laying your carpet.
If you've met your healthcare deductible for the year, scheduling a surgery, screening, or checkup with Watertown Regional Medical Center today could save you a lot of money. Your out-of-pocket expenses could be minimal or even nothing, but only if your care is scheduled before your deductible resets in January. A few examples of screenings or procedures include colonoscopies, mammograms, or hernia repairs. For more information on all services provided by Watertown Regional, go to watertownregional.com. Maximize your healthcare deductible before year end. That's why we're here.
I'm very familiar with Gruber Law Offices because they're always out in the community.
Gruber Law Offices are known to be honest, hardworking.
They're always involved in our neighborhoods.
Gruber Law Offices make our community a better place.
They are the best.
For nearly 40 years, Gruber Law Offices has helped people throughout Wisconsin. If you're injured, we're here to help. One call, that's all.
Wisconsin would not be the same without Gruber Law Offices.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And welcome back to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Here is Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Ashley, and welcome back to Community Comment with our guest, State Representative Andrew Heisel. We're talking about legislation and developments at the state capitol that affect us here at home. If you have a question or a comment for Andrew, we invite you to join the conversation. You can call us or text us at 920-887-8585. You can also call our studio line right here on Bill McCollum Way at 885-4446. And Andrew, I know you've been taking a deep dive, looking at ways to provide people in Wisconsin with tax relief. Get us up to speed as to where those efforts are at right now.
Sure, yeah. I think what we've seen in the state over the past decade is a shift from the state, the funding responsibilities that had been the job of the state, onto localities. So if you're funding schools at a lower rate and you're funding city services at a lower rate, then what's going to happen is you're either going to see cuts to your schools or your city services, or instead you're going to see referendum, because that's what's required under policy changes enacted over the past decade, is you have to go to referendum. And so as a result, a lot of people have been voting for these referendums. In Some Prairie, we passed a really big operating referendum for our schools that has been necessary because the state has shirked its responsibility. So people's taxes are going up. And you can see this in the fact that Wisconsin property taxes are some of the highest in the nation. You don't know this if you didn't own a home in another state. But in another state, you would be paying much less on average than you do here in Wisconsin. And it's because of what I just described, which is the state shifting its responsibility onto the local taxpayer. And I'll just give you an example of like one thing that is also exacerbating this local taxpayer burden, which is there's been a move to create and fund a separate parallel education system through private school vouchers. And we're looking at, in this past year, the 23-24 school year, so 2 years ago, more than half a billion dollars was paid by local property taxpayers to support private school vouchers. That is not sustainable. We cannot fund two separate school systems. We can afford one. And even then, we need to make sure that it's efficient and not wasteful. But we can afford one school system, not two. So these are things I'm looking at. I'm working with my colleagues on. We're trying to come up with solutions to help the property taxpayer, because people are in their homes. They buy their home 10 years ago. They pay off their mortgage maybe 20 years ago. They pay off their mortgage, and their payment's going up every month. I mean, it's really a problem for people on fixed incomes, like senior citizens. I knock doors. They are really having a hard time with these property taxes. And so we need to resume our responsibility at the state level to properly fund school operating costs. And we also need to stop funding a separate parallel school system through private vouchers.
I know there have been some efforts to address the whole issue of state funding, at least for local governments, and increasing shared revenue. Sounds like it's not quite having the impact that that local taxpayers would like to see.
It's not enough. I mean, it's not enough. We've been remiss. We've been abdicating our responsibilities for so long that the damage that's been done, the pain that's out there is so significant. A little thing here and there. I mean, for example, I voted against the budget because there was no money for school, for general school aid in the budget, but there was an increase for the reimbursement of special education costs. The local school districts can really be on the hook for a lot of money to deal with kids with special needs. Some of these special needs kids require a one-to-one teacher ratio with them the entire day. That's a cost that's borne by somebody. Well, the state was reimbursing school districts at about 33% of the total cost. So the budget said, oh, we're going to go up to 42%. And lo and behold, they ran the numbers. And after people passed this budget, which I voted against, lo and behold, it's actually going to be under 40%. And it's like that is an example of what's going on, which is it's not enough. I mean, you can't cut something off completely, shut something down in terms of funding increases, and then just throw a few percentage points here and expect it to get fixed. We need a systemic change. We need a systemic change to get the schools off the property tax, because it's causing major problems. I mean, it's causing problems for the taxpayer. It's causing problems for the school. I just heard one of your news updates about the Dodgeville referendum. I mean, this is a problem that we need to deal with. And like, what makes me mad is I feel like at the state level, some of my colleagues historically have been taking credit for tax cuts while they force localities to pass referendum. And like, you know what? I don't need to be patted on the back for, in quotes, cutting your taxes that you'll never feel. I would rather be on the record trying to help you not raise your own property taxes.
Oh, we have an election coming up next year. How optimistic are you that the new maps that many of these districts will be under might help change that? The expectation was when the new maps were signed that this would be advantageous to Democrats. Do you see more Democratic initiatives making their way to the governor's desk?
I see these maps as fair maps. I mean, these are fair maps, right? I mean, think about it. Last election cycle, with these fair maps, the Republicans still won. How could they be how could they be unfair? If they were unfair, the Democrats would have won everything like the Republicans have been doing for the past decade, where they had like a supermajority. So these are fair maps. And so what they allow the voters of Wisconsin to do is actually have a choice. So they chose the Republicans in 2024. Well, in 2026, if they don't like how much stuff costs, they don't like the fact that their property taxes keep going up, if they want more, sustainable funding for schools and don't want to fund a parallel education system, they may choose Democrats. And if they do, and we have a majority, we are going to fix these problems. And I'm super excited about that. I'm excited about the opportunity to finally deal with this stuff that has been driving people nuts for so long.
Well, yeah, I guess my point is if Democrats do gain seats in the legislature, then does this give Democratic bills, which have been, frankly, dead on arrival for many years, a fighting chance to become law?
Yes, exactly. It will be a big change, and it will be a wonderful change. It'll be such a relief for local taxpayers, for local schools. I'm very optimistic and excited about what could happen in a year from, roughly a year from now.
A couple of minutes left in the program. Let's talk a little bit about the governor's race. Joel Brennan, Governor Evers' former DOA secretary, just got into the race this week. That makes 9 folks on the Democratic side. I know you're backing Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Are we getting to a point where we have plenty of people? Do we welcome more people in the primary, or are we getting to a point that there are enough candidates?
I personally believe, after seeing what happened in the presidential election last year, people want to have a chance to pick their own candidate, right? So let's let people have a choice to pick their own candidate. So if we have 9 options, then somebody can say, hey, instead of being like, I wish there were better options, they've got 9 options. And if we need 10 options, somebody else jump in the race. To me, this is a sign that people are going to have a chance to choose a candidate they like not just the candidate they like the least.
Are you concerned that
the least.
Sure.
The least. Sorry. Yeah.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. I stepped on you there.
No, no, Terry. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you any concerned at all that, you know, the Democratic primary might be, a bit messy as opposed to on the Republican side? We have three candidates, but one clear front runner when it comes to terms of money and infrastructure support.
What do you mean by messy?
In primaries, when there's a clear front runner, candidates who are trailing behind tend to go negative on the front runner, and sometimes that tends to hurt a candidate who, you know, might, you know, rather not undergo that kind of scrutiny or, you know.
Hey, listen, I think that's a great point, Terry. I think it's actually good. Have some scrutiny. In a primary, you kind of want to get the issues out. You don't want a candidate to get through and you vote for the candidate and you find out later they have some big problem. I think it's good. I honestly don't have an issue with contested primaries. I think it's an opportunity for people to make their case and for voters to, like, make their choice. What I don't like is when the party comes in and it's like, oh, no, you know, this is the right person. You should choose them. I mean, who's the party to tell you who to choose? You should let the voters choose. And I think that was a big problem in 2024. We didn't have a Democratic primary at the presidential level, and look what happened. You know, people don't like that. It's not fair. It's not, frankly, it's not American. It's not a democratic way of operating, frankly.
Well, I'm afraid our hour is up. Andrew Heisel, it always goes by so quickly. It was time well spent. Thanks for coming with us today.
Oh, Terry, I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. And if we don't talk again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. You've been listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Attention, Dodge County area nonprofit.